Hello and welcome to the Pondering Primates podcast, the official podcast of the University of Edinburgh Atheist, Humanist and Secularist Society. My name is Daniel Sharp, I'm the president of that society and your usual host. The podcast is a veritable cornucopia. We have different guests on each episode to discuss a range of issues from religion and secularism to film, art and literature. If you want to contribute, then do get in touch. Our social media and contact details can be found on the Anchor page, but we're easily found by searching our name on Facebook, and our Twitter handle is at @UOEathHumSecSoc. So, with all that out of the way, are you sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin. Hello, it's Daniel here. In this episode, I'm going to talk briefly with Richard Wiseman, who is the Professor of the Public Understanding of Psychology at the University of Hertfordshire, and also an Edinburgh University alumnus.
Indeed, yes.
He's written many books on psychology and the paranormal, sleep, luck. So he's a very prolific author. He's also a fellow of the Committee for Skeptical Inquiry and a patron of Humanists UK.
Indeed, so yes.
Thank you very much for talking to me.
Pleasure, yes.
So just following on from that, I just was going to ask if you could just say a few brief words about your work in psychology and, I was going to say in public life, but that sounds a bit...
grandiose.
Yeah.
So in psychology, I started, actually, I did my PhD about 100 metres from here, the psychology department in George Square. And that was on parapsychology, and particularly the psychology of deception, how magicians deceive us. And then went down to Hearts and did some work on lying and lie detection. And then started to look at belief in the paranormal. From there, I got to belief in luck. And from there, started to work on whether people's beliefs could make them happy or unhappy or productive or not so productive. And from there, into the sort of self-help literature. So it's that long, winding path from essentially kind of magic through paranormal to luck and then self-help.
When you mentioned luck, belief in luck, I just thought of Napoleon, who was a big fan of his star, his luck.
Bring me lucky generals.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So on the paranormal then, is it real?
Yes. It turns out ghosts are real. But they're much shorter than you think. They're only about 2 or 3 feet high. And I've done quite a lot of ghost hunting, both here in the city and other places as well. And there's something going on. People have weird experiences, but I think it's very ghostly. And we investigated lots of psychics, and they turned out not to be psychic. And so that's why I sort of switched my research into belief about the paranormal and why people believe these things and why people have these experiences. And that's what I'll be talking about today, sort of focusing on the notion of the impossible and what is it and why are we rather fascinated with it and so on.
So what, broadly, what is the main reason that people have these experiences? If there was one main factor?
Yeah, there's probably not one, there's probably several, but I guess our ability to really interpret experiences in a meaningful way, so that if you walk into my house and feel a bit cold, you'll think, I think you should turn up the heating. If you go into an allegedly haunted house and feel a bit cold, then suddenly that's the spirits at work. So we're kind of trying to make sense of our experiences, which is what we do all the time. Otherwise we'd have a very random set of experiences in life, and we don't. What we experience is a continuous narrative.
Does skeptical or scientific research into these things and debunking such beliefs, does that a lot of people would say that strips the world of something wonderful? And
well, they might be right to some extent. It does make the world, I think, less intriguing in some ways. But in other ways, of course, the notion, it depends what you fill it with. I think if it's that the ghosts don't exist and that's that, then that's not so good. If you have this feeling of, well, what is happening in the world then? And what I'm particularly interested in is how can our beliefs about what is and isn't possible sometimes empower us to do amazing things. And so that's why I've shifted in later years onto more how can we use our beliefs in a more positive way rather than simply saying that other people's beliefs aren't true.
Now, I was thinking of your book Paranormality, and it kind of ends on a very nice note about the nature of wonder.
Yes.
And I think that's a really interesting thing, that just because certain supernatural things are not real, then you can still have a wonderful experience and observe the world for what it is, and that can be as beautiful and as interesting as any sort of...
Yeah, that came from Martin Gardner's writings, I think, is a quote in that chapter, which is where he says, you know, if you've got a river of wine, that would be an amazing thing, but actually a river of water is equally amazing. Mm-hmm. And what we shouldn't do is go, just because something's not paranormal, it's no longer interesting.
Mm.
So, yeah, I think that's true. I mean, I wrote Paranormality quite a few years ago now, so I think I've probably moved on a little bit from it, but no, I can remember that final chapter. Mm. Yeah,
it's what Richard Dawkins calls the anesthetic of familiarity.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
That there's a lot more to the world, even if it's not supernatural.
That's right.
So... Well, actually, on mentioning Richard Dawkins, what bearing do you think this sort of psychological research has on religious belief or religion? Is it, can these ideas also be used as a kind of explanation for religious belief?
Or it probably can. I mean, I think religious beliefs tend to add purpose and meaning to life. Mm. They tend to be much bigger beliefs in that sense, and therefore much harder to tackle because... You know, no one believes in God by chance, and normally they don't believe in God because of evidence either. I mean, it's either upbringing or schooling or need to believe. And so if one's going to tackle those beliefs, I think one needs to understand where they come from and then look at that. I mean, no, I've never met anyone who sort of said, I believe in God because the evidence is so strong. Mm. I mean, there probably are people that are like that, but most people are not. Mm. They have other reasons. Mm. And then we all got those beliefs.
Yeah.
You know,
about
other things.
Mm.
So, yes, it's a slightly different approach.
There's this pastor, Douglas Wilson. We watched a movie about him going on a debate tour with Christopher Hitchens a few years ago. And one of the things he said was that the reason he, as a Christian, is not... He thinks all the evidence in his mind does lead that way and all the evidence and arguments back up his beliefs. But he said even if they didn't, I was raised that way, and that's the real crux, which is just an interesting psychological thing as well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think people believe in God because of the evidence, and so if you try and make them disbelieve in God because of the evidence, you're going to be on a very sticky wicket, I think.
Mm. So what is what's the most... Well, as you said, you've done a lot of work in many different areas. What's the most interesting thing that you've discovered or learned over the years?
I don't know the most interesting. I find it all kind of interesting, otherwise I wouldn't have done it, because it all takes up so much time. I think kind of our phenomenal ability to change and to improve things, and I keep returning to the notion of hope, actually, and so I hope that what a lot of my research does is provide that sense of hope, not remove it.
Mm.
And so if I stood back and looked at it conceptually, that's probably where I'm going with stuff at the moment.
Mm.
In terms of individual findings, some of which I'll talk about tonight, I mean, I looked at firewalking and psychic dogs and Life Lab and all these other things. And they're all fun, and they're all quite good. Mm. But I think for me now, it's probably about slightly bigger themes.
Mm. I love the story of Jeff the Mongoose.
Jeff the Talking Mongoose.
It's a great story.
It's fantastic. Yeah, it's very good. Yeah.
A couple of... simpler questions, or maybe this isn't so simple actually, to finish off with. What psychological advice would you give to us students as we approach exam season?
Don't get too stressed about it, I think would be part of it. What do I say to students in general? I think I was always quite calm before exams because you always think, you know, I've done all my revision now, there's no more I can do. Mm. So I might just go in and show people what I've actually learned. I think we place a lot of emphasis on exams, and I'm not certain it's a good thing. When you talk to employers and so on, they're much more keen on life skills. And I was just at a conference, actually, about exactly this, and they were talking about character in being, you know, a good, strong moral compass. You know what's right and you know what's wrong. You know how to treat people with respect and so on. That's actually what they're looking for in their employees. we get very excited about exams.
Are you saying we should all just drop out then?
No. I'm just saying that I wouldn't get too stressed about it. You know, it's just one small part of a very complex skill set.
Yeah. And on a completely different subject, I always ask this sort of question to finish off. Aside from all your work and your research, what do you do to chill out, what's your hobby?
Well, I get asked that quite a lot, and I have the most terrible, well, I think it's a terrible answer, is that I sort of do love what I'm doing, mm. and the reason why I've done it so much over the years is because I do love it. That is my hobby. Mm-hmm. It's both my job and my hobby. So I don't sort of do anything else. I'm really, really dull in that that sense. But I think that the upside of that is because I kind of love what I do.
Mm.
And so I've been very fortunate. I've been able to make a career out of that. Mm. And not many people have that kind of good fortune. So what do? I don't watch telly. I don't listen to the radio. I don't listen to podcasts. I don't read.
Don't say that.
Well, it's true.
No, we're on a podcast.
Yeah, I know. It's true. But it's absolutely true.
Apart from this one, obviously.
Obviously, this one I listen to religiously. I mean, literally, yeah. I take it to church with me every Sunday. But no, I don't do any of those things. Mm. I spend a lot of time with friends talking about stuff that interests me and go around doing crazy things and talking about them. So I don't have any interesting kind of... I'm very dull.
No,
extremely
that's good.
That's good.
It's really good to have work that you love.
Yeah, I think that's the... To be honest, I think that's the key to happiness, is find whatever it is that makes you happy and find a way of earning a living doing it. And as long as you don't want to earn that much money, you'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, on that note, unless you have any last words that you
nothing,
must desperately...
Nothing, literally nothing I wish to share with the world.
Well, thank you
yes.
very much for talking to me.
And
for
yes,
10
and
minutes
luck,
or so.
Good luck with the exams.
Yes.
When are they?
Yes. Next month.
Oh, my God.
Well,
what are you doing here? You should be revising.
19th of December.
Yeah, right, you all look very relaxed. You should be stressed.
That'll come.
Right. Okay, well, best of luck when it does come.
Thank you very much. Right. And goodbye.
Yes, bye-bye.